We are happy on this Lord's Day to worship our God together. Hear this call to worship. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us give him our praise as we sing together hymn number 70. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. He's the one who has ransomed us. He's the one who's forgiven us. He's the one who does all things for us. And so we praise him today for his goodness, for his grace to us. Hymn number 70. Give you the worship that you are worthy to receive. You alone are God, who have created all things. We have life and breath today because of you, and we have eternal pardon from our sins because you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, to die on a cross, bearing our sins. And we thank you that by your Spirit you've led us to faith in him. So here we are this morning to give you thanks for every blessing, the best of all, salvation itself through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So fill our hearts, please, with praises, with thanks. May we remember every blessing this morning, and may we be encouraged thereby, And may our hearts be filled with devotion and adoration to you, who gives us blessings through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we commit this time to you. Pray you'll encourage each heart. Pray that you'll make the presence of Christ known to us. Perform your will among us, we ask, as we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. We read from the Word of God and Prophet Micah, chapter 5. Of the many prophecies concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world, this is perhaps one of the most astounding, because here in Micah chapter 5, the prophet names the very city where he would be born. And not only did he name it Bethlehem, but he specified which of the two Bethlehems there were in the land of Israel in those days, Bethlehem Ephrathah, the one to the south in Judea, not the one to the north. And that's the only place in all of Old Testament scripture where the birthplace of Messiah is named. And yet all the Jews who knew the scriptures by the time Jesus actually came, they were so familiar with that text, and they knew that he had to be born in Bethlehem. If the Messiah came, that's where he would be born. And so we read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'm sorry, Micah chapter 5, 1 through 9. Hear the word of God. Now gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on the cheek. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the end of the earth, and this one shall be peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land, and when he treads in our palaces, then we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princely men. They shall waste with the sword the land of Assyria and the land of Nimrod at its entrances. Thus he shall deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers of the grass that tarry for no man, nor wait for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, who, if he passes through, both treads down and tears in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up against your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. Here's this one promised, born in Bethlehem indeed. And as verse 4 tells us, he has become our shepherd. He shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord. He shepherds us even today in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And may we be thankful this day for this one who came by promise even to Bethlehem. We'll sing together hymn number 158, Christ is born in Bethlehem. 158. blessed and eternal God, we come to you this morning through our Lord Jesus Christ. We read these promises and prophecies throughout your word. In the scriptures of old, you promised a Redeemer. You told us much about him, where he would be born, the details of his life and death and resurrection. It all came to pass. As you said, we've come to believe in you because of this prophetic word which has come true in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have given our lives to you. We have staked our eternity upon the promises in your word. You, the faithful God, who keeps your word to men. We pray this morning that as we consider anew that which you have done in sending your Son into this world to be our Savior, that our hearts would be encouraged. And how we need encouragement this day. Life is full of difficulties and sorrows, temptations and fears and perplexities. And through all of this, we pray that the light of the truth of the gospel would shine forth in our hearts. May the presence of Jesus Christ with us today radiate through this place. May the love of God, our Father, permeate into the depths of our being. May we know this very day that we are loved by heaven, and that all that takes place in our lives is by the hand of a loving Father. And we pray today to know more and more of your gracious purposes in our lives, that we might give you praise and live for Jesus. We pray that you might give to us then a sense of your peace, even as we sit here in this place among your people in the presence of Christ. We pray too that you might make us better servants of our Lord Jesus in this world, because there are so many who need to know him. And we have the message of the gospel. We have the truth about Jesus. And we can tell people how to be saved. And may it be our desire and delight to do so. We also pray you'll make us holy. We need to be obedient to your commands. We need to be like Jesus in this world. And so we pray for grace to put away our sins and to live for you and to show Christ in our lives. Make us holy people, we do pray. And then for everyone you've gathered here this morning, oh gracious God, if there be some need that they have, we pray that you'd meet it through your word this morning, speaking to them by your Spirit. Burdens, may they be lifted, and cares turned over to you, and sins forgiven, and all that we need may we find in our gracious Savior whom you sent to us. And so we commit ourselves to you again and afresh. We commit to you our families and those not yet saved. We commit to you our neighborhoods and pray that our neighbors would come to know Jesus. We pray for our nation today. Such a critical hour, and how this nation needs to turn to God, and how we pray that you might so move in the hearts of your people that we would show the people of this nation that Jesus Christ still reigns as King, and they need to turn their hearts to him. Bring revival, we pray, and do great things for your great glory. For those of our persecuted brethren around the world, we pray today that they might know something of your love and peace. We pray that you might deliver, and we pray that you might also give great grace even in suffering and trials. Show your hand, we pray. In the passage we read this morning, it ended with a great statement of triumph that you will one day rout all our enemies and all those who have set themselves against you. We pray that we might soon see that day and rejoice in your deliverance and the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ will soon come to this earth. So we thank you today for your goodness and grace to us as your people gathered here. And we thank you and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number 15. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Here is a paraphrase of Psalm 98. from which the Christmas hymn Joy to the World comes as well, which we've sung twice already this Christmas season. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. And this is about his love to us. It's about the judgment that's coming to this earth, which needs to come. It's about the righteousness of God and his righteousness in our own hearts. Hymn number 15.
Thank you.
This morning we return to that very, very familiar passage of Scripture read over and over again at this time of the year, Luke chapter 2. Some of you could probably quote it from memory. And we're going to read 20 verses, verses 1 through 20 of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, hear the word of God. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, while the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. May God bless his word to us this morning. Show us his grace and his glory, and let us pray. Father, we have your word before us, this truth, this narrative concerning Jesus, this holy story, this gospel truth about Jesus coming into this world. We pray this morning that our hearts would be stirred anew and afresh as we consider the truth of it, and as we consider this one who came here for us. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At Christmas time, there's a lot of movement, a lot of motion. People on the highways traveling here and there to be home for Christmas, some of them. Others being with extended family. Some take airplanes, some buses, but it's a time very often of motion, of movement. The first Christmas was like that as well. A lot of motion, a lot of movement. And I think in that motion, in that movement, we have some things that could instruct us as we look at God's word here this morning. And I want you to consider with me the motion that is involved in that first Christmas. I want you to see with me, first of all, that at that first Christmas time, the world was in motion. The world was in motion. Look at verse 1 where it says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." And then verse 3, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." The whole world was in motion at that time. It says that all the world should be registered, and all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. It was required by the emperor that every individual go to his ancestral city, where his heritage is, and be registered there, this great census. And the world was in motion. Everybody around the empire was moving and traveling to their ancestral place. The whole world in motion. What caused that movement? What caused it? An imperial decree. Caesar Augustus said, "You must go to your ancestral place and be registered," and everyone did. In verse 4, the focus narrows from the world to one couple, Mary and Joseph. And just as you can on your computer nowadays, you can get a picture of the entire nation perhaps before you, and you can narrow it down to one house on one street. We see the world in motion, and now suddenly in verse 4, the focus is on one couple traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And it might have been some 75 miles that they had to travel or more, depending on how the roads winded around. There they were, though, Mary and Joseph, just the two of them, and the babe still in the womb, traveling all that distance because of this imperial decree. Sometimes we have to do things by something similar to imperial decree. We have to pay taxes because the government tells us we must. And there are other things that can be sometimes annoying and inconvenient for us to do because it's the government telling us to do it. This was the case with Mary and Joseph. How inconvenient for this young couple to be traveling at this time. Mary, pregnant, almost ready to be delivered, almost ready to give birth. And she had to travel that great distance. It was likely that much of it was on foot. Perhaps they had a donkey, we don't know, but we know it was a difficult journey at such a time. Well, we see this is the way the ancient prophecy came to be fulfilled. An imperial decree set them on their journey. But what was really happening? The ancient prophecy was being fulfilled. There's no indication that Joseph had any idea of traveling. There's no indication that Joseph had made any plans to go to Bethlehem. But because of the imperial decree, he was on the way to Bethlehem. And it wasn't until he got there that the child was born. God fulfilling his ancient promise by the means of an imperial decree. And don't we see here how all the emperors of the world, all the kings, all the presidents, all the dictators, all of them are there simply doing God's bidding. Caesar Augustus had no idea that when he issued a decree that would affect the entire Roman world, that he would be an instrument of the fulfillment of prophecy. No one else knew, yet the world would soon know that in Bethlehem was born the Savior of the world. The world was in motion then, and in this little stable and on this manger was the Savior of that world. Well, there's motion also in heaven. Not only was the world in motion, but the heavens were in motion. We read about this in the next paragraph, beginning at verse 8. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were sore afraid. There were these shepherds tending their flocks. It was night. You might say they were minding their own business, doing their own thing, when all of a sudden there was an angel. It seemed to them like he had come from nowhere. But where did he come from? He came from heaven. And there he was, standing before them, with the glory of God around him. In verse 13, suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. The heavenly host. Where did they come from? They came from heaven. I used to think years ago that the shepherds looked up and they saw in the sky in front of them a choir of angels. It was like you were seated at a concert and in the front on the stage was this great choir, and they sat there or stood in amazement as the choir, the angelic choir, sang. But that's probably not what it was like. Just as this first angel stood before them, suddenly there were angels standing everywhere, the fields full of angels everywhere the shepherds turned, beside them and in front of them and in back of them, angels everywhere. And they weren't up there singing glory to God in the highest, but they were with them in those fields, singing on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Then it says in verse 15 that when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, there's motion again. The angels going into heaven again. We saw motion then. The world was at motion. And I wanted to point out verse 4, these words of motion. Joseph went up. Joseph went out. Joseph went into. Up from Galilee, out of the city, into Judea. Now the angels, from heaven to earth, in verse 15, gone away, back into heaven. Motion, you see. The heavens were alive with motion that night as the angels came from heaven to earth and from earth back to heaven. What caused their motion? It was a divine mission. The angels, you see, were messengers. That's what the word angel means. The Greek word angelos means messenger. Angels simply are messengers of God. And they go wherever God tells them to go with messages that he gives them. And here was this great message. There's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. On earth peace, goodwill toward men. That was the message. Because these angelic messengers are always obedient to the divine mission. There they were. They came from heaven to this localized parcel of ground where the shepherds were watching their sheep. The divine mission. What caused the world to be in motion? An imperial decree that God was using to fulfill his ancient prophecy. What caused the angels to move? Divine mission. God still at work. But then we see motion in these very fields. Look at verse 15. It says, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, then the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. The shepherds were now in motion. Look at these words of motion. We saw the words in verse 4, Joseph getting up out of the city into Judea. Now the shepherds in motion. Let us go to Bethlehem and they came with haste. Now the fields were in motion as these shepherds left their sheep to go to Bethlehem. What moved them? What caused this movement among the shepherds? Well, it was simply faith. They believed the angel's word. Now you might say, of course they believe an angel. Don't be so quick to think so. Yes, they saw the glory of God in that angelic host, and they heard this great message. But not everybody who saw an angel believed the angel. Not long before this, in chapter 1 of Luke, an angel came to Zechariah, a pious man, a godly man, and told him that his barren wife would conceive. It seemed incredible to him. She had been barren for so long, how could she have a child? And Zacharias did not believe the angel. In fact, because of his unbelief, the angel struck him. He was dumb until the birth of John the Baptist. So Zacharias saw an angel but didn't believe him. 33 years later, there was a guard posted at the tomb of Jesus. And an angel came and rolled away the stone so that they could look in and see the tomb was empty. Jesus had risen. But those guards were frightened. So frightened they ran away. Motion again. But that was the motion of unbelief. Because those guards later would accept the bribe. And they would say that the disciples came and stole away his body. They'd seen an angel, but they didn't believe. So I'm saying to you that these shepherds set in motion because of faith. Look at their faith then in verse 15. Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. They believed it came to pass. They believed that what the angel told them is true. That in Bethlehem they'd find the Savior. Christ the Lord. They believed. Notice their faith also in leaving their sheep alone. Did you ever think of that? All the shepherds left the fields at the bidding of the angels. They weren't worried about the sheep at that point. What would happen to them? Who would take care of them? What if wolves came? What if bears came? What if they got sick? What if? None of that. They simply obeyed the angelic messengers and they went to Bethlehem and they trusted their sheep to God. That's faith. There are times when you and I can't be where we think we ought to be and we can't do what we think we ought to do and we can't take care of the people we want to take care of sometimes. We have to leave them. We have to leave things. We have to let God take care of the situation. That takes faith, and these shepherds had that faith. Not only faith to believe the angel, but faith to leave the sheep. And they went to Bethlehem. The fields were in motion. The world was in motion. Everybody in the Roman world traveling. The heavens in motion. Angels coming from heaven to earth, and from earth back to heaven. The fields in motion, shepherds traveling to Bethlehem. There's a great contrast. All this motion. And look at verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. And verse 16. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph. And the babe lying in the manger. Notice that phrase. Mary laid him in a manger. The shepherds saw him lying in a manger. All this motion. But there was a baby asleep in a manger. What a contrast that was. The only one not in motion during that time was Jesus, a baby. Asleep in the manger. And what a contrast that was, not only to the motion around him, but he who was laid in that manger was none other than eternal God, who had created those angels that sang about his birth. He himself had given life to Caesar Augustus. He is the one who had inspired the prophet to write Micah 5:2. He is the one who had created the whole world, and here he was lying in a manger. There had been motion for him. He too had come from heaven to earth. He had come from the highest heaven, where for eternal ages he was with the Father. Eternal God with eternal God. But now he became first a little cell embryo in the womb. Now he was born a baby. God, a baby on a manger. In a manger, but a contrast there. The motion everywhere. The world in motion. The angels in motion. The shepherds in motion. Jesus asleep in the manger. Well, let him sleep now, because there would be a lot of motion for him yet to come. A lot of movement for Jesus from place to place. In infancy, he would travel from Bethlehem to Egypt to escape the murderous wrath of Herod. And then to Nazareth from Egypt, he would grow up and go to the carpenter shop with his father and learn the trade and go to the synagogue and worship God. When he became 30, he would go to Jordan to be baptized. And after that, a life of motion ensued. And as you read through the gospel according to Luke or any other gospel, you see Jesus in motion. Always in motion. Chapter 4, verse 1, for instance, after the baptism. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. There he goes into the wilderness. Verse 14 of chapter 4. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and he taught in all their synagogues. In verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Nazareth to Jordan. Back to Nazareth in the synagogue to teach. Verse 31, then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbaths. And then verse 38, he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house and healed his mother-in-law. And then we read in verse 43 his words, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. All the cities, all the synagogues. We read chapter 5 and verse 12. It happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and came to him. Jesus healed him. Then verse 16, he himself often withdrew in the wilderness and prayed. He went from city to city. Then he went to the wilderness to pray. Always in motion. We see it again. Chapter 6, in verse 6, where it says, it happened on another Sabbath also, he entered the synagogue and taught. And then verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went to the mountain to pray. And then chapter 7, in verse 1, when he had concluded all the sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered to Capernaum, back to Capernaum. In verse 11, it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And then chapter 8, verse 1, it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Every city. He went through the cities of Galilee. He went down through Samaria and to Judea. Back to Galilee again and back to Judea. Always in motion, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who at birth was laid in the manger. Now going everywhere. To teach and to heal. Well, there was one day when he couldn't move any longer. And the way Toward the end of this gospel, according to Luke in chapter 23, we read these words. When they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him. He couldn't move anymore. He was crucified. He was hanging on a cross, nails in his hands and feet. He couldn't move. He could still pray. He could still speak. And he could bear the sins of the world. And that's why he was on the cross. All that he accomplished in the days of his mobility, the healing, the teaching, raising the dead and giving sight to the blind and preaching those great sermons and giving out those parables and telling of the kingdom of God, all of that was nothing compared to what he accomplished there as he was this motionless form on the cross. Because on the cross he was bearing our sins, taking our punishment. You know what happened after that? This very strange juxtaposition of praises. Luke chapter 2, Mary wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. Here in this chapter 23, verse 53, Joseph, not the husband of Mary, but Joseph, a councilman, a good and just man, this man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb. You see the contrast there. Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Joseph wraps him in linen and lays him in a tomb. But that wasn't the end, was it? 3 days later, there was the resurrection. He got up, walked out of his tomb, not only alive, but now he had the glory of eternity about him. And he who was the Prince of Life came back to life. And for 40 days, he appeared to his disciples, and he ate with them, and he spoke to them, and they touched him. And he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs. And then he ascended back to heaven, motion again. He's on the move now, once more. He walks out of his tomb alive. He walks with his disciples 40 days. He ascends into heaven. Right now he's seated at the right hand of God. But even there, he's active. He's ruling the world from that heavenly throne. And he's interceding for you and me this very moment. He's our great intercessor before God. One day, he'll be on the move again. He's coming back from heaven to earth. Just as there was motion in the heavens when Jesus was born, the heavens will be alive with motion again because Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. All those now in heaven, all the saints have gone before will come with him. All the angelic hosts. What a sight. What movement, what motion. When Jesus comes again. He's coming to judge. And he's coming to rule. And he's coming to give out rewards. You and I who have been faithful to him. In the very littlest things, if we've been faithful to him, there will be reward. For you and me. He's coming. The motion of history then. Jesus Christ, the eternal God, moves from heaven to earth and back again and soon to return, having accomplished our redemption. And so we worship him today. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come to worship and adore you, the living God, the gracious Father who sent your Son into this world. We thank you that he who came is coming again. And we thank you that when he came, he made eternal redemption. When he comes again, it will be to finalize what he began. And we'll be together forever with him. We thank you for promises yet unfulfilled, prophecies that yet are to come to pass. And we pray that we might, with great faith, look forward to the day when we will see him and be together with him. And we give you thanks as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.